This is one of those stories that deserves way more attention than it gets. I'm Taildragger, and you're listening to The Hanger on Radio Hanger. On this day, April 17, 1964, a 38-year-old mother of three from Columbus, Ohio, touched down at Port Columbus Airport in a beat-up Cessna 180 and quietly made history. Her name was Jerry Mock, and she had just become the first woman to fly solo around the world. Now let me set the stage for you, because this wasn't some big corporate-sponsored expedition. This was a housewife, and I use that word because that's exactly how the newspapers described her at the time, who learned to fly at Ohio State, got her private ticket, and then one day looked at her husband over the kitchen table and said she wanted to fly around the world. Just like that. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight, first solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So back to Jerry. Her airplane was a 1953 Cessna 180, which she named Spirit of Columbus. Now, if you've ever sat in a 180, you know it's a fine airplane, but it's not exactly what you'd pick for a trip around the world. Four seats, a Continental 0470 engine putting out 225 horses, cruising speed of about 140 knots. She had extra fuel tanks installed in the cabin, which meant the back seat was basically a gas station. The smell of Avgas in that cockpit must have been something else after a few hours. She took off from Columbus on March the 19th, 1964. And here's where it gets interesting. She wasn't the only woman trying to do this. There was a race on, though nobody was quite calling it that publicly. Joan Merriam Smith, a pilot out in California, had taken off just a few days later on a similar route. The press loved it. They called it a race. Two women, two small airplanes, both trying to be first. But Jerry wasn't thinking about Joan Merriam Smith. She was thinking about headwinds over the Atlantic. She was thinking about navigating with a basic ADF and whatever charts she could get her hands on. She was thinking about the fact that some of the airports she'd be landing at had never seen a solo American woman show up in a single-engine Cessna. Her route took her from Columbus across the Atlantic to Bermuda, then the Azores, then on to Casablanca in Morocco. Now picture this, you're flying a Cessna 180 over the North Atlantic, no GPS, no moving map, a basic magnetic compass, an ADF, and dead reckoning. The weather over the Atlantic in March is not exactly what you'd call cooperative. She hit turbulence that tossed that little airplane around like a tin can. Ice formed on the wings. At one point, her ADF just quit working, and she was navigating by the stars and her watch. She made it to Africa, then crossed the Arabian Peninsula, flew over Pakistan and India, through Southeast Asia. Every stop brought its own adventure. In Cairo, Egyptian officials didn't believe a woman had flown across the Atlantic by herself. They actually inspected the airplane looking for a hidden passenger. I'm not making that up. In some countries, the customs officials had no idea what to do with her. The paperwork wasn't set up for a solo woman pilot flying a small American airplane. She had to sweet-talk her way through bureaucracies that had never dealt with anything like her before, and she did it all with this quiet Midwestern patience that I think drove some of those officials absolutely crazy. Now the airplane itself had problems along the way. The 180 developed an issue with one of the extra fuel tanks. There were magneto problems, the kind of stuff that would make most weekend pilots turn around and go home, but Jerry had this attitude that I just love. She'd land, find a mechanic, explain the problem, get it fixed, and keep going. No drama, no big speeches, just fix it and fly.
She crossed the Pacific in legs, from Southeast Asia to the Philippines, then to Wake Island, then Honolulu, and finally back to the mainland, that Pacific crossing in a Cessna 180. With nothing below you but open ocean for hours and hours and hours, that takes a kind of courage that I don't think most people can even comprehend. If that engine coughs once, you've got nowhere to go. You're sitting on top of extra fuel tanks, so a ditching is about the worst scenario imaginable, and she just did it. She just flew. 29 days, 11 hours, and 59 minutes after she left Columbus, Ohio, Jerry Mock landed back at Port Columbus on April the 17th. She'd flown 22,858 miles in a Cessna 180. 22,858 miles. And the reception she got was something special. Thousands of people turned out at the airport. Her husband and her three kids were there. The governor was there. It was a genuine celebration, and Jerry, true to form, was humble about the whole thing. She talked about the airplane more than she talked about herself. Now here's the part that sticks with me. After the flight, she wrote a book about it called 38 Charlie, named after the tail number of Spirit of Columbus, November 1455 Charlie. It's one of the best first-person aviation books I've ever read, because it doesn't try to be dramatic. It just tells you what happened. The headwinds, the paperwork, the magneto trouble, the moments of genuine fear over open water at night. It reads like a pilot's logbook that happens to describe one of the greatest solo flights in history. And then, despite all of this, Jerry Mock kind of faded from public memory. She didn't become a household name the way she should have. Part of it was the times. 1964, the country was focused on the space race and the civil rights movement.
a woman flying a Cessna around the world was a feel-good story, but it didn't have staying power in the headlines. And Jerry wasn't the type to chase fame. She went back to her life in Ohio. She kept flying, but quietly.
Joan Merriam Smith, by the way, completed her own trip about a month later, following Amelia Earhart's route more closely. That was an incredible achievement in its own right. But Jerry was first. The Spirit of Columbus now sits in the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum's collection. I wish they'd put it on permanent public display where everybody could see it. A 1953 Cessna 180 that flew around the world. There's something about that little airplane that says everything about what general aviation really is. You don't need a $1 million jet, you don't need a military budget, you need a good airplane, good preparation, and the willingness to go. Jerry Mock passed away in 2014, at the age of 88. She was still sharp as a tack, still talked about flying with that same quiet enthusiasm. In her later years, she got some of the recognition she deserved. The FAA gave her an award. She was inducted into the National Aviation Hall of Fame. But I still think most pilots, even experienced ones, couldn't tell you who she was if you asked. Pull up a chair if you've got a minute, because I want to leave you with this thought. We celebrate Lindbergh, and we should. We celebrate Earhart, and we absolutely should, but Jerry Mock actually finished the trip. She flew a production Cessna, not some custom-built racing machine, around the entire planet. And she did it with navigational equipment that your average student pilot today would look at and say, "You flew across the Pacific with that." She did, and she came home. Most of what I shared today comes from Jerry's own book, 3-8 Charlie, along with some wonderful archival work by the 99s and the National Aviation Hall of Fame. You can find more about the show at radiohangar.com. Fly safe out there, and remember, sometimes the greatest flights come out of the most ordinary hangars.